So this week is back to basics boot camp, and or this whole month is. And what I love is that for my birthday month, I like for all of us to get really focused. So I wanted to kind of tell you guys my process for like every year I kind of do the same things to celebrate. I started doing all of this after I lost my weight, and I've just added to it over the years. So one of the first things that I did when I lost weight was I had a Greenway that I would run 6 miles on every single year. So this weekend, this coming weekend, I don't know if I'm going to be able to run the whole thing. Y'all don't know this, but I've been nursing a back issue. But I have every single year done 6 miles, either walking or running, since I lost all of my weight on my birthday. And I will be doing it again this year. So I do that every single year. I have like a big thing where no matter what on my birthday, I always celebrate it with health and fitness. I have just always felt like that was one of the best gifts I ever gave myself. And so every year on my birthday, I like to do that so that I just remind myself how far I've come. Not only that I can do it, but that I choose to do it, which is, you know, I used to only look forward to on my birthday, cake, what I was going to eat, you know, like it was my blow it day, I deserve it, it's my birthday and all the things. And when I lost my weight, I really thought about what I deserved on the day I was born. And I deserve to show up the version of me that I always dreamed I would be, you know? So that's been something that I've always treasured. Over the last few years, I've used my birthday as a way to trigger thinking about what all I accomplished the past year, how I've just changed as a person, that kind of stuff. So actually this morning I spent a lot of time thinking about who I wanted to be in my 46th year on earth. And then this afternoon, I'm going to do a lot of self-reflection on this past year. I kind of started it this morning, earlier, and I tend to always want to go to the future. Like I have trained my brain so much that the imagination, the creation, and who I'm going to be it's more important to look to where I want to go to figure that part out versus looking to the past and just hoping it will be different. You know, wherever you put your focus is where the, like, how you will try to create your how. Like, if you keep looking to your past and you keep, and like, reminding yourself of all of your limitations, then when you try to develop the how for weight loss or building a business or getting out of debt or whatever it will be, you will build your how based on your limitations. And that's like a huge problem most of us have. And that's what I did for years when I was trying to lose weight. I would start a diet. I would look to my past, you know, collect all my failures, think about them, be afraid of them, and then try to figure out how I was going to lose weight. Well, I was building the how for, like, I knew I wanted to lose weight, and I was building it from all of the mistakes. And it wasn't like a method of like, here's what I learned from all of it. It was more about on the how. It was like, all right, now I'm only going to do the things based upon the limitations I think I have. And that was really a problem for many years for me. And so when I lost weight, and I didn't read a self-help book or anything, this just naturally happened. And then as I, over the years, have tried to figure out, like, how do I explain to people why it was so different this time? What was it that made all the difference? And I've actually been thinking about, this is the fucking year I'm going to write a book. I keep talking about it, but this is my year. I was sitting there thinking about, I was telling Chris this yesterday. I just said, babe, I know this is the year I want to write a book. Like, I think I now know what I want to write. And it's not a book about the four basics. It's like, I need to help women understand what they need to clean up before the four basics will even work. Because all of us know how simple they are. And a lot of us can do them. But the biggest thing is I have to clean up for people is, you know, like even doing the four basics, you know, you're only going to be able to find your negative two if you can come up with all the ways to do it based on you will become someone who has a better relationship with hunger versus, well, that negative two is hard because, you know, in the past, I've always been somebody who's scared of being hungry. So I'm only going to do hows based on what I'm most afraid of, not I'm going to do hows on what I want most for my life. And so when I lost weight this time, the thing that really changed me was I thought so much about the person I wanted to be in this world. I spent every day making myself dream about being an exerciser and what was healthy going to look like for me. And, you know, what does a healthy mom look like? And like, even just like, what does she feed her kid? And when she goes to the grocery store, what shit does she buy and what she doesn't buy? Like, I really spent so much time imagining my future. And I was someone who did not do that. You are not someone who is suicidal and you spend a lot of time imagining your future. Because the only future you can imagine when you're suicidal is one where you're dying. So this wasn't an easy thing, but I was very committed to it. And I think it's the hardest skill that I teach all of you, because we're all, our brains love certainty. And the one thing our brain is very certain of is what's happened in our past. But the problem is that what's happened in our past and how we've shown up only gets us to where we are now. It doesn't get us to where we want to go. Wherever we're going in the future is a new set of hows and a new set of beliefs that we haven't to this point learned to believe yet, learned to do yet, learned how to think yet. And that comes with uncertainty. But the moment that you get to where you can teach your brain how to look forward and how do you find certainty in your future? Which I'll just, because y'all are members, let me just tell you, if this was a podcast, I'd be like, and that's what you got to learn. But the way you find certainty in the future is not hedging it on success. You look for the things, and I tell you this all the time, you make doable plans. You plan for the things you know you feel like you can do in this moment to teach yourself that I can be certain of these things. I don't need to be certain of the goal. I need to be certain of these actions and these steps that I can like let my brain take peace in. And the more you do that, then you start becoming certain of you as the kind of person who's working towards their future. And then as you start becoming certain of that and confidence starts building, then you become the kind of person who's like seeing you acting as a new way, already thinking in a whole new way. Certainty in your goal starts becoming more and more doable. More and more, it feels less scary. So I share all this with you this morning because I'm fixing a coach, and one of the things that I'm doing, spending the rest of today on after this, is setting my impossible goals for it. So I do impossible goals about twice a year now. I do a 2020 version of impossible goals, usually in January. Like, I think about, this is what I want for my life and my business and all this other stuff. And then because my birthday happens to be in the middle of the year, it's such a good opportunity to kind of do like another version of it. Some of the ones I've already accomplished at the first of the year, so I've got room for more, that kind of thing. But I think about like the 46th year on this planet, what are the impossible goals that I want? And let me share with you a couple of questions that I asked myself this morning in case you guys want to do it. The first one is, wouldn't it be wonderful if? I asked myself that question this morning, and all I did was just let my brain have a bajillion wouldn't it be wonderful ifs. That was just the things that I thought would be wonderful if they happened. Wonderful if I did it. Wonderful if this was whatever. So I did all of that, and I had, it was a long list. And I don't know if Trina, if you're here, but I'm still using your journal. She sent this to me a long time ago. I actually had to tear out a ton of pages because I want to use this one as my little like planning and 46th year one until I run out. And then I answered some of these questions. How do I want to show up this year? Like some of my answers were honest with myself, getting coached every week. I have my own coach. Journaling every single day, no matter what, learning new things every single week. I put on here giving a leg up to people who need it, willing to love more on Logan, building stronger relationships in my life. Let's see what else. Owning the magnitude of my accomplishments. I have a really hard time with that one. So that's one of the things I'm personally working on. Being a trailblazer in weight loss and being an ally to women who are left behind by the system. I've been really studying this a lot with all the, like, with the women of color. And now I'm like looking into all the ways women are left behind. Like, I don't know. I never studied this stuff, and, you know, I just grew up poor and just figured I'd have to, like, my mama just taught me from a young age, you're just going to have to work hard. I just never, you know, I didn't even realize how much was out there that keeps us, like, basically keeps us down, I guess. Just how systemic so much stuff is. I don't know. There's been a lot to that, and that's going to be a big focus of my year this year. Then I put down, who do I want to be July 12th of 2021? What is another one? Who am I wanting to become is another good question. Here was one that I really liked. I'm not giving you all of them, but 5 years from now, what do I want to remember about this year? And I really put down that this is the year everything changed, that I can say my 46th year was the year that, like, I changed my family tree. Like, my entire family tree. Like, I used to just think I wanted to make sure that Logan had enough money in case I died, he'd be okay. And I've been really thinking about, well, what a, like, limited dream that is. You know, it means, I don't know if it's because I was first born or what, but it means a lot to me to take care of my family. And so I put that down. What am I willing to create this year? And I answered, what might get in my way? What can I do about it? And I also answered this one. When others are in my head about who I should be and what I should be doing, what do I want to do in that moment? And then the next question was, and is there a way to honor that even more compassionately? So those were some of the questions that I answered and that I'm working on. And by the end of the week, I'm going to have all of my goals, my impossible goals for next year. And I'm going to get to work on them. And I've always thought that I'm a big dreamer, but I think this year it's even going to be more important to me to dream big. So the reason why I share all this with you is because this is Basics Bootcamp month, and we always do something in July that gets us all taking exquisite care of ourselves, honoring the basics, focused on our weight loss. Because if I focus you on your weight loss, then I know I'm focusing your mind too, because everything I teach you is how to lose weight using your brain. This week is all about the doable plan, and Coach Betsy is going to have a call on Thursday at 5 p.m. where she's going to teach, coach, and answer all the questions about your doable plans. If you don't know, we are just switching the name of the realistic plan to the doable plan. And the reason why we're doing this is when Coach Betsy actually was the one who presented this to me, and I was like, well, this makes fucking sense. So realistic planning came out of just a Facebook Live one time I was doing, and I was like, I kept saying the word, you need to be more realistic. You're going to have to be realistic. And I thought, you know, when she presented it, I said, it's not that it even needs to be realistic. It needs to be doable, which means I'm going to write some shit down. And if not only is it doable, but it infers that I will do it. A lot of you make realistic plans and then you just look at them like, this could be beautiful wallpaper. I've done like 400 of them. I haven't really followed any of them. But then when you put in, and because I think sometimes with the word realistic, I think that you guys add realistic plan parentheses rather than that being your circumstance, the parentheses, but that won't help me lose weight. And that's the problem. So when we think about doable, it means, okay, this is the plan that I think I can do. All right. The other thing is we have the 31 days of planning thread in the Facebook group. The coaches are in there sharing their plans with you every single day. So if you type hashtag 31 days, 31 days of planning, no spaces, you'll be able to find it. The mile a day is going on. this is a birthday gift to me. I want to see how many miles are donated at the end of the month in honor of my birthday. And then the other calls this week is MJ has a drinking call tomorrow night at 5. Kathy has office hours on Wednesday. And my Q&A is Saturday at 9 a.m. And I want to have one extra announcement. Next Sunday's call is on my birthday, and we are having the call. But because the following Sunday, I am going to be at virtual camp, the July 12th call will start at 11 a.m. instead of 12 p.m. Central Time. We're going to go bonus hours. So it will be from 11 to 1:30. So y'all are going to get extra time with me next Sunday because I won't be there the following Sunday doing virtual camp. Also, Women of Color, your coaching call is next Sunday at 2 p.m. Now, the only people invited to that call are the Women of Color. So just so all of you guys know, I'm doing bonus calls with them for a while so that they have a place where they can go and they can talk about some of their unique situations and stuff away from a lot of chat and all this other kind of stuff. All right. That is everything. Let me see. Let me find. Raise your hand if you're going to get coached. Sharon P., you're up first. The call on Thursday at 5 p.m. is Zoom. Every call is on Zoom except for my Facebook Lives on Saturday mornings. Everything else happens in Zoom. Hey.
Hello. So I love... The last time I came, I thought, she's not going to call me, and then you call me today, too. I've been all over the Facebook page, and I'm breaking up with an abusive boyfriend, and people have been amazingly supportive. Like, I really am grateful, but he's now, like, I've told him he can't come back in my house. Like, I've changed the locks, as I was advised to do by many people in the tribe, and I put a bunch of his stuff on the porch, which is what many people in the tribe said to do. Now he's threatening to sue me, and then now he's turned to, you know, I still love you. This is why, you know, we're arguing so much, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, you threatened to sue me. He said he was going to call the police because I wasn't going to let him in my home, and he never officially had an address here. Even though he stayed here. So he has no legal right to the house, you know? So I don't know. Like, I don't know. Actually, I actually feel pretty good because I'm standing up to him. Like, I've listened to him for years threaten me that if I didn't do what he liked, he wasn't going to come over to my house. Or if I didn't do what he liked, he would take all of his stuff and leave. Because I let him, I gave away all my stuff and let him move in his stuff. And so now when he takes all of his stuff, I'm going to have a fairly empty house. Okay. But I'm glad, you know. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I don't need coaching, but I raised my hand because I was like, he was in the middle of threatening me. And I feel like I've actually, and I just texted him this too. I said, I'm 100% stronger now than I was a week ago. Like, I can stand up to your threats. He's like, when did I threaten you? And I'm like, oh my God, it's like the crazy making stuff, you know.
Well, I want you to think about it. Like, I'm not taking his side in terms of being abusive, but let's take his side in this arena. In his mind, he probably thinks, I'm not threatening her. I'm just doing like every idiotic brain there is. I'm scrolling through every single dumbass thought that I can verbalize to her to see if I can get back in.
Interesting.
Because here's what I know about him. Has he hit you?
No, he's just emotionally abusive.
Okay. Well, so emotionally abusive. He already doesn't have, he's already demonstrated he doesn't have a really good working brain to begin with.
True.
And so he's like all the rest of the brains. His brain probably now feels threatened. It's like, she put my stuff out there. Like, she made good on everything she said she would do. And now his brain's like, fuck me. Now we're uncertain. So let me say bullshit to her until I can find the sentence that might get her to do something different. Mm. That does not, like, I'm not saying, here's my thing. I want you to not be surprised about it.
Right.
Because now you're talking as if you're shocked that he is saying these things.
Well, the thing is, like, frankly, we ultimately broke up because he's incredibly racist. And so he said some incredibly racist things the other day. And I said, okay, I can't live with this. Let's agree to disagree, you know, on these issues. And he just had to insist that he was right. And so, you know,
but what are your thoughts about his insistence that he's right?
To me, it's kind of like a verbal bullying, you know, because I said to him,
all right, let me just stop you right here. Okay. I want you to feel confident and like solid and all these things about your decisions. Okay. I want you to quit giving his words so much emotional power over you now.
Okay.
Like when he says,
you know, it's amazing. I'm so much more stable than I would have been a year ago. Like he first started saying that he was just not going to come over if I did something he didn't like 3 years ago. Like it's been going on like that where periodically it was, oh, well, I'm angry at you now. I'm not going to spend any time with you. And he knew how much I loved him and wanted to be with him. So that was the go-to.
I get all that, but we're now in the present day.
True.
He's probably going to keep texting.
True.
He's probably going to get doing this. And so now we got to decide every text, every sentence, everything is my circumstance now. What do I want to think about him? That he's bullying me, that he's doing all this that gets you riled up and anxious or upset or whatever? Or do we want to think, I've seen through it and we're done? Or
that's what I think.
Yeah. Like we
it's
need
amazing.
A thought where you're now emotionally empowered. Not like when you say like he was insistent and it was bullying. Mm. Like, does that feel great?
No. Mm-mm.
No, when you could just be like, that's hate speech and I don't deal with it. Mm. And how does that True. Feel?
Much better. Just let it go, you know.
Yeah, it starts moving you further down the road of being the victor of your story. And him no longer, like, if we could, like, basically just, I think that you needed him to be a villain and you needed him to be, like, all the things to get you to this point. Now it's like, all right, we're here. Mm-hmm. He's gone. Mm-hmm. I'm taking these, like, I believe in me and I know that this is not for me and blah, blah, blah. So now how do we get you, like, focus more on making you a victor versus what a villain he is?
True. I put all his stuff on the front porch, actually, or a good bit of it. There's a lot of stuff. Like, he's going to have to take multiple trips to get his stuff. But to be honest, like, what has been going through my mind for the past couple months is when you've said, I've heard you in coaching calls say, if you knew in the beginning what you know now, would you stay in the relationship? And it's like, and the answer kept being no, you know? Right. And it just took me a while to be able to say, okay, I'm ready for the no, you know?
Yeah. No, I think you're doing wonderful. I think I'm just trying to basically offer you that next step to where it's like, if you like, how do you want the rest of this to play out?
Okay.
Like, I want you to.
Well, that's true. Cause like people are flashing up block him, but it's like, you know, somehow it's going to have to be that he comes and gets this stuff. You know what I mean? Like my daughter and her boyfriend are coming, so they can be very helpful in getting his stuff out of the house so that there's no access to coming in the house.
Action line. This is the problem with the peanut gallery over here. They want to tell you what to do. They don't want to help you think differently so that no matter what you do, you think empowered and you feel empowered. A lot of us can bring people over to help move somebody's shit out and be terrified, anxious, and worked up the whole time. Or we can be like, I've got help and we're going to help his shit right out the door. And it will not be full of drama because I don't give a fuck what he says. We just done, you know, like that's the thing. Like, it's like, you know, I get that your brain is freaking out, man. I freaked out for 3 years. Welcome to the party. But you see what I'm saying? Like, and I love all of you. I think you're great at giving ideas and stuff. But it's always when you guys give someone an action, I want you to not like, I want, because this is important for all of you with your own self-coaching. When you take advice on an action or when you give advice on an action, always tell them, and how I think and feel about it is this. Number one, it will allow you to understand how you're thinking and feeling about it, something you're telling someone else to do. And it will help them too.
Interesting.
It's like when somebody tells you to go on keto. It's like, well, I lost 50 pounds on keto. Do keto. And they'll tell you exactly what to eat and all this other stuff. And then if they're saying, and the whole time I was doing keto, here's what I thought. I'm such a badass. The only way to lose weight is to do it this way because my boyfriend told me. And I felt very restricted. But girl, I lost 50 pounds. Like, who wants that advice?
Right, right.
So it's like a lot of us can do stuff from a really shitty place. So what we work on and what I want to work on with you is think about this. No matter, let's say we're getting rid of his stuff. That's just the action. I want to know, how do you want to feel on the day the stuff's being getting rid of? So how do you want to feel?
Fine. Okay, this is happening. I'm fine with it, and I'm not one to say things if you do that, you're going to have to leave. By the time I got to that point, I was ready to say, okay, I'm done. I've heard this enough. So I felt pretty empowered at that point when I said, I'm done, but he's been, continuing to say how it's all my fault and stuff like that until now when I've said, bring it on, bring the lawyer on, bring the court on. Come on, let's go. You don't have a legal right to be in this place.
Let's just decide. It is your fault. This is all your fault. You know why? I would take responsibility 100% for this and be like, it is my fault. Well, you're an asshole, and that's what I found out. And I decided to end it because I just don't want to spend my life with an asshole. You are absolutely right. It's 100% my fault. I ended it. that's where you start, when you start thinking about, I don't need to be defensive. I actually do want to be fine. So whatever he says, I'm 100%, I agree. It's going to be hard for you to get your stuff out. Yeah. That's what happens when you're an asshole. Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I appreciate it.
So that's why I want you to think about, I want you to do some personal models on things that he's likely to do. So he's going to text me sentences. He's going to try to victim shame me. He's going to do these things. And that's all a circumstance in my life. He doesn't have power. He doesn't have that ability until my thoughts get applied. And I get to decide, am I going to be fine through all of it? Am I going to be empowered through all of it? Am I going to be drama-free through all of it? And sometimes that's just looking at of course he would do all this. He's very immature in his brain. He's not going to suddenly change because I decided I wanted different for me. That's not who he is. He only wants who he is. And he just wants me to be okay with it, and I'm not. So we're definitely not a match.
He just recently texted that I was going to suggest counseling, but you were in your zone. And I'm like, oh my God, if he had said that on Monday, I would have said, let's go. But now it's no, I don't have to be with you. You've called me crazy too many times. You've called me selfish too many times. I'm not selfish. I'm not crazy. I'm good. That's just your words. Like you said, it's not a reality.
Yeah. I would just keep putting every sentence in the C line for you in your model and then decide how you want to think. And I would even do what will be very helpful is what you think he might even say. I mean, you know him well enough. Here are some things he's potentially going to say to me. And I would drop into his model on why that might be happening. He just wants back in. He doesn't really want to change.
Right. Good
point. And that's what happens very often with some people. I dated a guy one time that actually married him. We dated and got married. But as I've looked back on it over the years, because he cheated on me. He did a lot of he stole money from me, all kinds of shit. When I look back and I kind of dropped into his model, and all the times that he was trying to get back into my life, I just remembered thinking, now in my present day, of course he said all that stuff. He was never emotionally mature. He was never someone who loved anyone else more than himself. You know, like it was like, and when I looked at it from that perspective, I could find compassion for him, not like as in love, but like compassion for him and me, that it was the best thing I ever did getting out of that relationship, because he probably just needed to find someone who wanted to let him do whatever he ever fucking wanted to do, and they'd be okay with it. And I am not that woman. Not a match. I mean, just, I didn't have to hate him. I didn't have to like villainize him. I just did not have to do that. I did at the time, but like later in my life, I didn't have to talk about him that way anymore. Because when I did, I was the only one suffering.
True. Yeah, because he's not even in the picture at that point, right?
No, but I'd get pissed and angry, and I would get to like feel all that one more time. Like,
fun.
I really don't want to be pissed about my ex-husband every time I need to share a story about my ex-husband and coaching.
true. Good point.
You're doing fine. You think about how you want to feel going forward, how you can practice. Like, let's focus on me being the victor now. Less energy and effort on him being a villain. That doesn't mean you'll go back to him. That just means, like, it's not a useful, like, I've already made my decision. I'm 100% solid. There's not a lot of good mental energy spent on spew there, but there's all the positive energy on me thinking about my future, who I want to be, how I want to feel, and the lessons I've learned, and the woman I want to be after this.
True. Thank you. Yes.
You're doing great.
I just say, I feel so good. Yes. I mean, I was crying like for days, you know, about it. And so, but actually like advocating for myself made me not want to cry anymore, you know, instead of, I guess that was being in a victim position, you know.
You know, honestly, you were probably processing your honest emotions. And that's why you feel so much better now, is that you allowed yourself to cry, you allowed yourself to feel bad about things and look at things and understand why you felt bad, and you were able to reach out, get other perspectives. That's called processing all of it. I wouldn't think that you're like, and sometimes when we're processing, here's what happens when you process emotion. You will find your victim thoughts. Part of processing is just realizing where you're doing that stuff. And it's like, oh, no wonder I feel so sad. Here's the collection of thoughts that is me causing my emotional suffering. And the only way to find them is to not run from that emotional suffering. If you're eating, you shut off all of it. You don't know that you're doing it, right? It just prolongs things. And then part of like processing is like, and here are the collection of thoughts. They do feel bad, but they're like, I need to feel bad. Like if you're, say you're disappointed in him, or like, or just say disdain, like you're like the racism thing. This comes up and you're just like fired up. This is injustice. And you feel the things. Well, you need to feel those in order to make the decision that's right with who you are. But if you run from that, which a lot of people do, they just shut that part off and hope they change, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the point about feelings. Feelings are your body's way of saying, hey, something's going on, so you need to check it in your brain. They're not good or bad. They're like literally that indicator light in your body of, who do you want to be in this moment? Because if I'm feeling really upset and stuff, like if you're feeling really upset about him and racist comments, so you absolutely want to feel upset.
Okay, that's good.
That's when we want to be pissed and angry. That's when those emotions cause us to like reflect and think through. And it's like, oh my God, Corinne once said, would I do it all over again if I knew it? It's like, that's when it serves the purpose, especially if you allow it to happen. But then when you're just processing other stuff, you're like, now I see, sometimes I hurt myself just as much as others do by thinking like, well, he's right, I'm an idiot, or, you know, or I shouldn't be so bad, you know. That's when we start understanding all of that. That's why the feelings that we have are so important. They're nothing to run from. They're the signal to look at what thoughts are causing this in this moment.
Okay, yes, break down those thoughts. I've done a lot of modeling all week and been pleased. I post the models on the site. People have been just so helpful. I just want to say a real shout out to the tribe because, I mean, like 500 people or something commented on my initial post when I was breaking up. So it's been great.
Yeah.
I'll never quit.
One of the things that we have in this group, we have, unfortunately, but that I think is good for our group as a whole, are a lot of people who have been in abusive relationships. And I think that that's just a sign of, one thing that does happen when, like, especially if you have a weight loss site, a lot of us have gained weight over the years by allowing a lot of mistreatment of ourselves in a variety of ways, whether it's emotional, verbal, physical, whatever it is. And we eat to avoid the pain of people taking advantage of us or, accosting us, attacking us, and doing all these things, rather than feeling really bad about those things in that moment, and rather than running to food, we start evaluating our lives, and we start looking at what we're tolerating, and why are we tolerating it, and making hard decisions to get out of relationships. So, a lot of times you have a lot of people in there who probably have figured out, I have to quit eating over this abusive person, I have to start doing something about it.
True. True.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Good thank luck. You so much. All right. Thank you.
Bye. Let's see. Kate Fries. Your name is awesome. Kate Fries. Like as in French fries. Which is one of my favorite food groups. Y'all, I could eat French fries every day. Hello.
Hey there.
Hi.
It's actually freeze, but I respond to fries.
All right. Kate Freeze. Womp womp. No, just kidding.
I know, not nearly as exciting for sure.
All right. I was like picturing every good French fry I'd ever had in my brain. What are you coaching on?
So I've been doing the work, which is great. So I'm not buffering with eating and I'm not buffering with drinking, and so now some of the feels are coming up.
Yeah.
And I've been I've done a bunch of discovery worksheets and I've found a pattern.
Okay.
And the one from yesterday, because I ended up having an overeat Friday, I had a crazy urge, did the urge meditation, totally knocked it out. But yesterday we had folks over, social distanced, and we I was really concerned about drinking. And so I planned for two drinks and ultimately decided to only have one. But I missed the feeling of like that first hour and a half of drinking or whatever, of like, oh, there's not a care in the world. There's nothing going on. You know, like I'm good. Life just feels good. And
but you're acting not, like the alcohol caused those thoughts. Like,
yeah.
What if you just spent the first hour and a half going, there's not a care in the world, blah, blah, blah. And, like the alcohol doesn't cause those thoughts. Like if you're drinking and you choose to think those things in those moments, it's like, can you, like, I think this is where a lot of the work becomes. It's like, if you, like, here are the things that I love about drinking. I think all these things and therefore I feel all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, what if we just insert carbonated water, and what would it look like to still think and believe those things? Because here's the funny thing. When you're drinking, they're just easier to believe because your brain is getting a little bit of alcohol. When you're not drinking, you have other thoughts that are saying these things aren't true. Or you have other thoughts like, it's not as much fun without booze.
Right.
And those are just thoughts getting in the way of the ones that you actually want to have.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense, because it feels like, it feels like it's the booze doing it, but it's in there in my own brain anyway. And so how do I get that out?
You literally are going to have to just do a few times without the drinking, of letting your brain send the thoughts that it has first about not drinking up, and then redirecting it to, yeah, but you know what? Ultimately, I really don't want to be drinking. What I really want is to not have to drink, but still have these thoughts. Right. So you can train yourself to go there with that thinking.
Yeah. Well, and it was interesting because I had two drinks planned and I opted for only one. And like, I felt the buzz and I wasn't so sure how I liked it or what have you. But then, and we had dinner and I was plus, you know, 8 to +2 and all this sort of stuff. But then once our guest left, I hit the chocolate chips and marshmallows like a fierce son bitch. Excuse me.
Why?
And
why?
It was like, I've been so good. I fought that other urge. I just want to be able to have whatever I want when I want it. My inner teenager just was having a fit of like all of the things.
So why only drinking one drink? Why is that suddenly I was good?
Because I didn't get drunk. I didn't get crazy drunk. You know, I definitely.
So you just got drunk after both on food.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, no, and that's the thing where I'm like, okay, how do I, and you're right, it's going back to that thought was already there. I don't need the alcohol,
I think it's
or
the thought of, like, I think for you, it's making the connection that the food or the alcohol is never making you think it's all okay, this is fun, this is all this other stuff. Because you said, I fought the urge. I only stopped at one. It sounds like you spent the party working.
Mm-hmm.
I spent the party in my head, you know, honoring my plan, but also telling myself, I don't really like how this buzz is feeling. Then it's like, and then I fought some urges and like all this other stuff. And at some point, your brain wants to go to, yeah, but you know, there's a problem here. Without being drunk, there's no care in the world. And without being like overfed, there's no just everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to start telling yourself the only thing drinking and eating is doing is turning off your thoughts.
Right.
It's not making you have a good time. It's not doing anything. It's turning off some thoughts that you don't want to have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so find the thoughts that you don't want to have and then tell yourself, I don't have to have them.
Yeah.
Like, I need to figure out what they are. Go to work on disproving them to myself, like separately in my journal. And then this is where like the magic happens. Right now, what you're having are these thoughts, and then they feel true, and you decide, decision point, I believe you. You entered my brain. I have decided to believe you and say, carry on your mission. Get me to the food. Get me to whatever. Versus the thought comes in, and you're like, oh, yeah, but we're thinking this. I want to, like, in this moment, I want to use my old thinking to trigger my new thinking, which is my new thinking is that booze and food has never, ever turned off my cares or anything. It has numbed me to the point of at some point I have to feel bad again until I figure out how to feel good again.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, I started laughing because my brain to me, it was like, I don't believe you. You know, that when it is food that, you know, takes away those cares. But no, I hear that. And, you know, the finding what the thoughts are now that I'm taking away, and not in a bad way, but like, okay, so remove that buffer and then you reveal, okay, what's really going on underneath. And
I would just keep processing yesterday even more. Like, I know you've done a discovery worksheet, but I would just keep digging around. Like, I would write about it this afternoon, like all the different things. And like, if I could do it over again, like if I could do the party over again here, like think about how you were currently talking to yourself about drinking and what the experience was like while it was there. Just like really think about it. And I will tell you, you do not have to remember every single thought, even your guessing hazy recollection now will give you insight into whatever your brain comes up with. We're going to just assume that somewhere in your subconscious, it was probably going on. Because I think a lot of you are like, well, I don't really know what I was thinking in that moment. It's like, well, it probably wasn't loud. But if you take guesses right now, guess where your guesses come from? Subconscious land. Mm-hmm. Where everything's a mystery. You know? And it's like your best guess is what your subconscious has been saying in a whisper.
Yeah.
So just assume like that had to have been it. Yeah. And if for some reason it wasn't, it won't matter. Because you will have worked through the process of thinking about possible thinking and all the things. So I want you to kind of go through, and I want you to kind of tell the story first of, here's what I think I was thinking, like, as I said no, and I made these choices and all this other stuff. What do I think my experience was like? And then at the end of that experience, if I needed to sneak off and reward good behavior and create relief, then I'm actually sneaking off and rewarding. Like, at some point in there, I was telling myself when I quit drinking, I'm being good. That's not a useful thought for anyone. Your morality and your worth are not tied to whether you eat or drink. Because then when you eat or drink, even if you do a little bit of it, if being good is saying no, then anytime you say yes, you must be bad.
Right.
So that you want to, that's like a beautiful lesson for you. It's like, I wasn't good. I just made decisions. That's all that was really happening.
Yeah.
And that means also that when you're overeating, you're just making decisions. That's all that's really happening. Mm. So you tell it. Go ahead.
I was just saying our accountability group meets via Zoom before this. And we were just talking about like the perfectionism of like, okay, if I'm off plan or, you know, then we just kind of like say, fuck it and like go completely off or like not going back to planning or what have you.
If you are off plan, you're doing fuck it eats. I will tell you exactly why. You have thoughts about being off plan that are tied to the woman you are. You do not have your thoughts tied to these are the actions. I'm really curious about what my thinking was that drove those actions. You're not tying your actions to your thinking. You're tying your actions to this must be who I am. I'm either good or I'm bad. I'm either worthy or I'm not. Because someone who feels worthy and who just believes that no matter what, they're just a good person, an overeat wouldn't knock them off their own pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do y'all think I ever sit around after an overeat and be like, fuck me. I'm just going to eat all of it and deal with this shit tomorrow. And I would never do that to myself. Because I love myself too much, and I know that it's not a reflection of the future version of me. The future version of me is healthy and sane and has her own back at all times, which means the present version of me is doing that shit.
Yeah.
So after you tell the story as you recall it, then I want you to go back and say, like, all right, I want to do it again, same exact actions. I only have the one drink. I finish the party and everything. I want you to go through and I want you to tell the story. It's like, what would be a way to tell the story of the party? This is all the way up until the moment that you overeat. We're not including the overeat part, okay? I want you to tell the story as if you wanted to end the party feeling super proud, like actually relieved, and like there wasn't a care in the world.
Okay. I will work on that.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No drama llamas or something like that. There's a bunch of llamas suddenly coming up over here in the chat.
That's our group.
All right. Well, good work,
awesome.
Y'all.
Thanks, Corinne.
All right. Bye. All right, Jennifer. That was a good call. Just in case y'all missed it, that was a good call. I got to quit clicking pins. Oh my gosh, I'm as bad as my child. My child, he likes to have like 400 pins in his hands, and he like he does this all like, to the point where he has lead all over his hands at all times. Jennifer, are you coming on? Parmel? But he does this all the time. Like, just constantly. Like, it is, like, I don't even know. Like, his hands will come in, and they'll be solid black where he's rubbed them so hard that the lead's coming out. And I'm like, go wash your hands. Get a new set. All right.
Nervous habit.
Well, and I'm a fidgeter, too. I don't even know why I make fun of him. So. All
right. Yeah.
You. What are we coaching on?
Well, kind of, like, overeating and kind of self-worth stuff.
Okay.
I have like a little bit of a little backstory I'll just share a little bit. And it's part of the reason that I connected with you and eventually joined the program. I've been a groupie for about a year and I just joined in June. But just prior to joining, I spent some time in the hospital for some mental health issues where I felt like my life wasn't worth having. And I'm recovering from that a little bit. And part of what I did to recover was join the program, and it's been super beneficial. I already have a great accountability partners. The tribe is fantastic. You know, every time I post in the tribe, you know, people are super responsive and everyone's really supportive. I did a planned binge, about a week ago, and I was on a coaching call with Betsy regarding that, and she was super helpful with me. I did my follow-up call with her, and ever since then, I've been journaling extra about it. But for some reason, now I'm to the point where even if I'm doing a realistic plan, I'm overeating, and it's, I think, so that I don't hurt myself. I don't want to end my life. I think I've replaced one thing with another now since I did that planned binge, and it's kind of moved me up, and I talked about it in therapy and they were just like, oh, well, at least you're not hurting yourself. And I'm like, no, I can't eat to replace and cover these feelings up. Like, you don't understand.
How do you know? This is a question what you really think about.
Okay.
How do you know overeating is hurting yourself? Do you think that's the truth? Or do you think that's a thought that you're having about your overeating?
I think it could be both, but maybe it's a thought because I'm overeating to the point where I feel sick. And so that can't be good, but maybe it's just a thought.
How do we know if it's a thought? Let me ask you this. When I ask you about overeating is hurting myself. Do you feel good? Do you feel bad?
No, I feel bad.
So now we know it's a thought. Anything that we say that allows us to have a feeling attached to it, even if you felt amazeballs by it, we would know it's a thought versus a circumstance.
Okay.
So that's why I want to make it really clear with you, because I think one of the things that's causing you a lot of pain is literally how you're thinking about overeating right now.
Okay. So if I work on changing the thoughts around my overeating,
well, let's just try it. What else could your overeating be doing for you right now? Like, if it was like, all right, I'm going to be overeating for the next 6 weeks while I'm figuring out my hunger scale, while I'm like figuring out my journaling and I'm figuring out my brain, it's going to be maybe a lot of overeating. Who knows?
Okay. What was the question? What if I'm overeating for the next 6 weeks?
Yeah. How can we start thinking about it? Like, what could it be doing for you is what I want your brain to wrinkle on a little bit.
What could it be doing for me? I mean, I think it's trying to protect me. I think it's myself trying to protect me
from
all the feelings and the emotions, I think. I'm journaling
from your own thinking, right?
From my own thinking. And I'm journaling every day trying to work through some of this stuff. Aside from like the journal prompts, I'm specifically doing work about the overeats, you know, and I do some of the worksheets for overeating, the discovery worksheets, but I go a little deeper in my own journal, trying to write about it. And sometimes it's really helpful and I have like a really good, you know, afternoon or, you know, half a day. And it's not like I'm being unrealistic in my planning either. I'm like, I'm going to eat 4 cookies, you know, I'm going to have popsicles and I'm going to have barbecue ribs with, and I'm not quantifying them so that I'm not feeling like I feel like I must be trying to protect myself from my own feelings. Like that's the only thing I can think of. And it must be a deep hurt that I'm trying to protect myself from because I'm pushing.
I don't think it's a deep hurt. You know what I think it is? It's like everybody else. There's no deep hurts. There's no extra bad ones or extra scary ones. Or these are the ones that, you know, like, oh my God, if you have these, it's a problem. It's literally, I want you to think about this. It is probably trying to protect you. And there are times in our journey where sometimes while we're figuring this out and we're getting late, we're getting the habit of planning and we're getting the habit of routine and we're getting the habit of being open to seeing our thinking and all this other kind of stuff, we may still be overeating during that time.
Okay.
This just may not be the part of your journey where the overeating stops. Because let me ask you this. If you weren't overeating, do you think you would feel better? Do you think that the overeating is causing your pain right now?
No.
What do you think?
It's not the overeating.
Okay.
I mean, the overeating is making me feel badly, but that's probably not what my actual issue is.
I just tricked you.
I don't feel tricked. So
at
tell me
first, you were like, I'm smarter than her. Then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. Overeating's causing me to feel badly. But I think there's deeper thoughts. Like overeating is not causing you to feel bad. The reason why I asked you this is because you don't have to stop your overeating to feel better. You have to stop judging yourself for your overeating to feel better.
So it's the judgment. I need to work on the judgment.
Yes. Like okay. This is, and especially because you have binge eating, like
I am.
Actual binge eating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Binge eaters always, y'all always walk in the door like the shame train's arrived and who wants on to food and no one gets on your train. And it's like, all right, I guess I'm riding solo. That's the problem with like, sometimes like our overeaters, they just don't walk in with a cloak of shame. They just walk in like an overeater. That I want you to see that if you want to feel better over the next 60 days, you could overeat your way the next 60 days, not beating yourself up and working on lots of things and feel like you've made progress and not have lost a pound and not have stopped overeating yet. Like that's not the success story. I think for you, the success story is getting so clear about my thinking leads to my feelings. And so all of my feelings are useful, even the bad ones.
Okay.
Because they're trying to tell me something about what I think about myself, about my food, about my future, about my past, all of them, even shame. Shame is telling me that I am thinking that I shouldn't be overeating or that this is a problem or that this is wrong at this stage in the journey. And that's my thoughts about it. So I'm not going to like help you further in this. And like, I want you to get on some more of these coaching calls with the coaches, especially if you can find Betsy calls because you're already kind of started that relationship.
Yeah.
I want your 30-day goal to be super simple. I want you to be willing to notice all your feelings and find a thought causing the feeling. And like literally, if in the next 30 days that you were just like, Grin, I'm back. And here's what I know. Here's a large collection of my own thinking and it's causing all of these feelings and I am okay with that. Because once I am okay with how I think and how I feel, then I'm prepared to start thinking and feeling differently. Because now I'm not saying overeating makes me feel bad, that there are bad thoughts that are going to make me feel bad, Like all of that gets cleaned up first.
Okay. Okay. I can do that.
Yeah. And just keep doing your plans the way you're doing them. Okay. Make them even more doable. That will help you with releasing some of the shame and judgment you have. Like I think that what I would do for the original thought of, you know, overeating is hurting me is like, no, the overeating is showing me I need to be even more doable right now with my plan. Because I will just tell you, when you're working through, I guess you were depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have bipolar too.
Yeah. So
I have major depression.
So when you're kind of working through all of that, you just kind of need to tell yourself, and I, like I say this with pregnant people, I say this with a lot of people. This is the season where you're going to lay down the habits that when you're ready to release some of the extra eating, because you've gotten to know yourself and you're taking authority over your brain and doing all that stuff. This is the season I lay down the good habits. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate yet into actual weight loss or the end of my overeating. It means it's going to translate into that next season. I've got solid habits. I'm starting to like myself. I'm feeling immensely better because I've learned how to think better. And then I'm ready to put some gas on the fire of like, okay, some of these foods I'm probably ready to let go of. Some of this eating I am now ready to let go of because I did my emotional work first.
Okay.
There's just no rush for the weight loss.
Yeah, I don't want to rush it. I want to do this right. I've been listening to you, like I said, for over a year. Like I really that hit home with me, you know, like there's no rush. It's all about the mental work. And so I will definitely spend the next 30 days working on that, writing out my thoughts and the feelings that it's causing.
And the hack for all of you is just every day, just think about like the three big things I'm feeling today, like, or the three things I'm probably going to feel today are, and the thoughts that I'll like I'm either having or I might have that caused them are these. That starts, and then you just take a look. You don't do anything with them. Like, you seriously, you're just like, okay, this is good to know. Like,
okay,
when I think this today, I will feel this way. And if you want to change your thought, you don't go to unicorn. Here's the only one you, all of you will ever need for the rest of your life if you don't adopt one new belief. That's just my thinking causing this feeling.
Like, just my thinking causing this feeling.
Yes. When your brain takes ownership of thoughts versus your brain blaming overeating or blaming something for how you're feeling, it's like it starts learning, like, oh, nothing's happening to us. Our thinking is the only thing happening to us. It's a gift for you. Okay.
Okay.
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah, you keep doing all this too. Work. You're doing great, okay?
Thank you so, so much. You are an inspiration.
You're welcome. I'll be thinking about you. What's your name again? Your name is not
Jennifer.
On the screen. Jennifer, okay.
Oh, Jennifer Parmalee. Yeah, hi.
Okay. All right, I'm going to be checking on you. I may have to put you on my board alerts.
Right. Yeah, I'll be posting. Bye.
Tally? It's a pretty name. Somebody, while we're getting her up.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you see me?
Yes. Let me answer this one question that's a good one, and then we'll get to it. I have a great accountability partner, but she is new to OBS. How can I find someone to work with who has experience and success in their program who is also in her 60s? Keep your current accountability partner. Go back and request. Use our request form on pnptribe.com underneath community. submit. We've added a couple of, I think we added a question like, tell us more about what you want, and just tell Heidi does all of it. Tell Heidi that y'all are looking for this so that when we get someone like that who wants an accountability partner, boom, she'll assign you. The other thing you could do is just post in the Facebook group. There's also a 55 plus group. Just post in there like, hey, we're looking for one more sidecar. All right. What are we coaching on?
Hi.
Where are you?
First of all, it's my first time. Yeah, I'm outside.
But obviously in another country because it's like light out here.
I live in Israel, so okay. It is 9:10 p.m. I'm in Jerusalem.
I was going to say, it's got to be dark wherever you're at.
Yeah, I hope the delay is not too bad. Hope you can hear me all right. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk to you about my personal witching hour, which is between 5 and 7 p.m.
Okay.
It's after a full day of work, and my kids all kind of descend upon the house, and I have 4 little kids, and I do follow my plan. If I don't follow my plan, it's during those 2 hours.
Okay.
And
so kids are coming in. It's between 5 and 7.
Pattern in my discovery worksheets. They all need shalom. They all need to be fed and bathed, and they all want to talk at the same time, and each one's crying about something else, etc., etc.
And where does your brain go?
Yeah. So every single discovery worksheet, I just list all my thoughts, which is, this is too hard. I'm not enjoying this. Why can't I just enjoy my time with my kids? I literally have 3 hours with them every day till they go to sleep. This is terrible. I just want to veg out and, you know, be on my phone or just eat cookies. Okay.
But you obviously have you're like most of us. Your brain is like, my children come in, they act like they're always going to act. And then I start tantruming.
Yeah.
Like it's a shock. And like it should be different. So in your brain, what's supposed to be going on?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I'm shitting all over my kids. More. They shouldn't do this. Yeah.
Which is
I should love the chaos more. It's beautiful chaos. I should be like a Pinterest mom.
Yeah, well, that's bullshit. Let me just tell you right now. None of us should
all of that stuff.
Let me ask you this. What if you were like sitting there and you were just like, of course I'm annoyed.
I tried that compassionate stuff. I don't know why it's not resonating with me.
I'm talking about compassion. I'm like being annoyed at them on purpose.
Okay.
Here's why I'm annoyed.
And wanting to feel and actually allowing myself to feel the annoyance you're saying.
Yeah. Or you could keep eating.
Right.
Eventually you might be able to like come upon
I've tried that. I'm not happy with that.
Well, see, there might be a couple of, I think right now you're eating because you don't want to be annoyed.
Yeah. I don't want to be unhappy with them.
You want to be happy with them. Right? Is that what you just said?
Yeah. I'm upset at myself that I'm unhappy with them. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the part where I think you have to do some work. Like right now you're saying like, I want to be happy with them. Well, that's a far stretch.
Yeah.
It's like, just... like, of course I'm not happy with them. There are days where I'm tired and I don't, and like, of course I don't want them doing all this, but they are versus they should be doing something different. All of those thoughts are coming in from this idea that you shouldn't be annoyed and you should feel a different way. So if you shouldn't be annoyed and you can't feel another way, then it's like, all right, if I shouldn't be annoyed, then I just need to eat because this has to go away.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, why not just allow yourself to be annoyed? You do it from the place of, of course I'm annoyed. If I had my way, they'd all walk in the door. They'd sit in a corner quietly while I go about my business and admire them from afar.
Yeah. That's exactly it. So
the question is, what is it going to take?
That was my next question. Thank you. Yeah.
You have to notice your
thoughts. How do I start to feel okay with annoyance? What?
Right now, you're resisting annoyance. You're not even feeling annoyed yet. You're feeling the fight of annoyance. Like in that moment, when one of them comes up and they're like screaming their head off, like, you know, this is my imperfect day. I would like to share it with you. And I'm going to cry while I'm doing it and hit my brother at the same time.
Yeah.
Like your brain is not sitting there going, this is the part that's hard. This is the part where I'm going to be annoyed. This is the part where I might even lose my temper. This is the part that I wish it was all different. This is the part that blah, blah, blah. But this is just that part my brain, like these are the thoughts my brain's having, right? What you're doing is you're going, this shouldn't be happening. I don't like this. I wish I was a different mom. Why can't I be better? That's the argument with annoyance. And I want you to agree that you are annoyed. And it's because you don't like all this stuff. And there's no sense in trying to get you to like it. Now, eventually some of you can pull out specific parts that you can start becoming okay with that will lessen your annoyance. But you'll only do that when you actually feel okay with being annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell a story in the new virtual camp stuff about I have like for years and years and years just beat myself up for not liking shit that Logan likes. I have spent a year trying to do new things, listen to his stories and all this other stuff, read books and all the things. And I'm willing to do it, but when I'm doing it, I have never yet once felt amazing in the moment. And I was talking to my coach about it, and she said, I just don't understand why you just don't just decide. We don't have anything in common. That's okay. You don't like his conversations. That's okay. That doesn't make you a bad mother. That just makes you two incompatible. And that's okay. And I mean, it was like a mic drop moment for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I spend a lot of time in annoyance with him. And in the annoyance, I spend a lot of time in judgment over myself for being annoyed. And when I let go of that and just decided to be like, this is not the relationship we have. And yes, I am annoyed and I am bored. And that's like, sometimes I'm okay with being like, I'll just sit there and be annoyed, wishing that the conversation was different, but I know that's me. And sometimes I just tell him, I don't want to talk right now. Or no, babe, I don't like that. I'll be really honest with you. I have dropped the judgment part of me.
How do you not feel guilty? How do you not feel guilty telling him I don't want to talk?
I trained myself. It's called 1,000 Internal Conversations in Journaling about why it's not such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had to start being honest and be annoyed and be honest, which is harder than eating. It's also harder than feeling guilty. It's a lot easier to show up like a perfect mom and feel really guilty all the time and erode your relationship with yourself. The problem is it's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So like every single time I'm sitting there and he's talking about something and I'm annoyed as fuck, I tell myself, yeah, of course. You don't like this. Don't pretend you're going to be feeling something else. Why not just be annoyed and listen? Sometimes I'm just like, I ain't got the bandwidth. So I just say like, it's a no. And then I tell myself, and you know, every guilty thought that I have, I'm like, that's just not true. I was honest with my child. That's what I was. And I don't like look at him and go, fuck you. I'm not listening to this. That comes from being like, too, like, resisting annoyance. It comes from, like, saying, baby, I just want to be really honest with you. Mommy doesn't, not interested in this.
Okay.
So tell me what you're going to do between 5 and 7.
Well, up till this moment that you asked that question, I was thinking in my head that I would just continue repeating to myself, I'm so annoyed. I'm so annoyed at this situation. This is hard for me.
I want you to add one little thing to it. I'm annoyed.
Is that good enough? Okay.
Like, I'm annoyed, blah, blah, blah. And it's because of how I'm thinking. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. And once I kind of train my brain in that direction, then there's a higher level that you can get to after that, you were saying, where you can maybe pull out some parts that are not annoying, but first I have to kind of perfect stage one, if I understand. So
stage one is the one that's the most important, which is really understanding that being annoyed is a very tolerable feeling when you're not fighting it. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to have a lot of thoughts about your kids. You're going to feel really vibrating on the inside of your body. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll yell at them. Like, literally, you're going to keep just basically showing up the same. We're just not going to feed ourselves for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only difference.
Right. Okay.
Do some work on the mom you really want to be. Like, that's what I would do. And then let me just tell all of you this. The work on being the mom you really want to be, like, release the societal pressure to be perfect. Like, if the world wasn't perfect and everybody else in the world seems to be doing it right, like, I'd be the kind of mom who gets annoyed at her kids and can move about her day. Like, I think about the mom I actually want to be. Like, I want to, like, I really did some deep work on understanding that I can love Logan fiercely and not be perfect. Like, I was telling my coaches, like, I just have these days where I really love him, but I don't like him. That doesn't mean that I don't love him and would die for him and all the other stuff. But
I totally identify with that.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't want to talk about astronomy. We don't have that in common, you know? It's not the end of the world.
Okay. Okay, so I will stop fighting off being annoyed.
Yeah.
I will be annoyed.
You focus more on that rather than what's easy, which is focusing on, like, I need to clean up my witching hour eats. Real focused on these kids and the annoyance and stuff, that makes all of that so much easier because it's not that hard. You're going to tell yourself no. Like, we don't need wild instructions on how to stop eating between 5 and 7. We need to quit being annoyed at ourselves for being annoyed at our children.
Yeah. 100%.
Right. Well, good luck.
Okay. Thank you. You
deserve Thanks like a medal much. For having 4 of them.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much. All right, bye.
I am always amazed at people that have more than one child. It's like Chris and I were just like, where's that towel that you throw in after you've had one? We need the towel right now. Let's do one more because I'm having all the fun with you guys today. Let's do Andrea. I'll tell you what. Hey, Andrea, I will read you guys the script I have for camp. If I can find it real quick after I coach Andrea on, I can't remember what. I'll have to try to remember. I'll see if I can remember, but I'll read it to you guys at the end on what I wrote about Logan. All right. Ma'am, what are we talking about?
So I've been a member since September, but I have not even really attempted, I would say. Like, I, you know, do a realistic plan here and there, but I draw a blank. But I think I've realized I have all these, maybe they're food rules. Like, I wake up starving, and for some reason, I feel like I shouldn't eat when I wake up, even though I'm, like, starving.
I should ignore my body.
Yeah, I do all the time. I get to, like, a negative, I'd say, 6 or so before I eat. Because what? I notice that if I eat first thing in the morning, then I'm hungry 2 hours later.
So?
But then if I just don't eat until, like, I'm starving, like, noon, then I won't eat again. I get off of work like 4 or 5. I'm still hungry then. But then if I feel like if I eat then I'm going to be hungry before I go to bed. And it's uncomfortable to be hungry before I go to bed. So I don't know if I've just made that up myself.
Well, here's the thing. All the ways that we eat, whatever we've done, you've made all of it yourself. Now, you may have, like, collected influences from places and, like, what I call Franken-dieted things.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the problem with just eating when you're hungry? Because I don't think there's a problem with you waiting and stuff. But, like, I really want to know why all – like, just tell me this. Why is all this a problem?
I think if I eat right when I first wake up – well, one, I'm really never, ever sure what to eat. Like, what's the best thing at that time? And then I might find myself eating, like – not junk. Well, yeah, like just junk food, like whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Whatever's available, which is never anything that like I quote unquote planned. It might be like a cupcake or it might be like a croissant or it might be something.
So the problem isn't that you're hungry and eating. The problem is that you're not planning and you're just deciding to eat whatever's around.
Yeah. And I guess I feel like if I eat at 10, like in my mind, if I eat right when I wake up, then I'm going to eat again in 2 hours, and then I'm going to continue to eat all day long, and that's just going to be way too much food, is kind of the way I
feel. Let me ask like, you this. So you've been in September, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've only been eating at noon and 5 the whole time?
Oh, no, I don't even eat at noon and 6, probably, and then I'll have something sweet before I go to bed. I have coffee first thing in the morning.
In September, every single day, you've only ate at noon and 6. No overeats.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, the overeat happens at nighttime, like the dessert or whatever.
How much weight have you lost?
I don't know, 8 pounds maybe.
Okay. The reason why I'm asking is because your theory is if I start eating in the morning, then I'm going to be overeating.
Yeah, throughout the day.
My theory is that you're ignoring your body and just waiting to overeat during the time of day you would like to.
Oh, well, that's the thing. I don't even overeat. Even when I have my meals, I'm very good at, like, only eating half.
Well, let me ask you this. Since September, why, like, on your plan of noon and 6 and dessert at 9, why on your plan have you only lost 8 pounds?
Well, I'm sure I'm not. I don't know. Either I'm eating too much dessert. Like I feel like it's a bakery item. I have like a bakery habit. So I feel like it's like a bakery thing because I'm eating that. Or when I do eat like at noon and 6, it's like 3 chicken wings, boneless chicken wings, like with ranch and french fries. It's like that. It's not like anything.
Okay, like if I followed your meal plan since September, what would my body look like? If you, like, literally every single time you've ate since September of 2019.
Mm-hmm. Like mine.
I mean, have you ever had any overeats where you started off at 8 o'clock in the morning? Like, or you're, let me just, I'm really trying to orient. Like, do we have overeating going on outside of your noon to 6, 9 p.m. thing? Like, or do we have days where that's not how we eat? Or it's like, no, every day since September of 2019, this is exactly how I've ate.
Well, it's been since before September of 2019. But yeah, for the most part, I have coffee in the morning. Okay. And then I used at work, someone would go get lunch and it was usually like around 11 or 12. So whatever fast food place. And then I might, throughout the day, I will have like a Nestle Crunch bar. Like,
okay,
or
so
Hershey
I'm
Kisses packing throughout the day.
Right. So if you were going to write me the daily meal plan for the last say 8 months.
Yes.
I would have on some of my meal plans, Nestle Crunch snack bars at during, not at 12, not at 6, but in the afternoon.
I put them on my plan under snacks, but I don't say what time they are. Like, I always put on my plan kisses, snacks.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get clarity around how you're eating. Because if you've only lost 8 pounds since September, then there's something going on that we need to uncover. And I'm trying to decide, is this like, do we need to clean up overeats? What do we need to clean up?
The only time I ever feel like super stuffed and uncomfortable is like if I have at night, like say I went to the bakery and I got like a slice of cake, I want to eat all the cake. Like I would eat the whole slice. Like, and I don't know, like you were talking the other day about like binge eating and someone's like, they're a binge eater. And I'm like, and with based on your definition, I didn't necessarily think that I fell in that, but like I bought cupcakes, an 8-pack of cupcakes, because my thought was, well, I like to have the cupcakes so I can have one at night before I go to bed, and then I won't go to the bakery and buy the slice of cake that I have no idea what's going on in it. But then it's like it's a competition, because then I eat the whole 8 within 24 hours because I know they're okay. In there.
That's what I'm wanting to dial into. So since September, it's not like you've only ate at noon, 6, and had a cupcake at night. Since September of last year, there's probably a lot of fuzziness going on.
Yeah, like throughout the day.
Like if you had to pay me $100,000, would you, and I would lose weight on your plan, would you be like, all right, here's my plan that I've been following. It feels like it's doing pretty good.
Right. No. Because I've always felt like part of me feels like, and I think it's counter, I feel like it's just like this, it's counterproductive, because part of me feels like maybe I don't even eat a lot or eat enough throughout the day. And then at night I'm starving. And so I just go in on this whatever chocolate thing that I've had, whether it be cookies or a bakery item or what have you.
This is what I got to in the beginning. This is because it was the way you presented it. It was like, if I start at like 8 a.m., I'm going to overeat. And I'm saying, no, here's what you're doing. You're waiting so you can overeat when you want to.
Oh, okay. That could be.
Like, I'm going to eat at 12 and 6 so that when it's cupcake time, or my snack time or whatever, should the urge come up that I want to eat a lot, I'm green-lighted. This happens very often.
Oh, okay.
So like, that's why I was like, I wanted you to tell me what all was happening so that you could see, like, okay, yeah, that is what I'm doing. And we just don't see it that way. We don't see it as basically banking to be able to overeat later just so that we can say it's not that bad because I barely eat at these other times because I need to protect when I want to go all in on eating what I want.
Yeah, I didn't consider it as like barely overeating or barely eating. I consider it as, well, you have a whole meal and you only eat half of it. That's a good thing.
Yes.
So, you know, so I mean, I ordered this and then I'm full. So I only eat half and I move on. Like I put it up or I don't eat it again.
Yes. I think that's great. I think the problem though, is that you're ignoring your body a lot. So like, I'm going to ignore when I'm hungry and stuff. And I'm also going to ignore when I start eating something that I want. I'm going to ignore my body again by eating too much of it in the next 24 hours.
Yeah. And that cupcake thing, it doesn't happen a lot. It maybe happens, but what will happen is I will get a slice of cake from the bakery and I might eat that whole slice of cake today. And then I won't. And then I'll just have Hershey Kisses or whatever for the next few days. And then I'll get another slice of cake from the bakery and then I'll eat that night.
No, like, I'm not eating though.
Yeah.
You're eating Hershey Kisses. It's not exactly, you're like, oh, I must be hungry.
No, it's like I just like smoking chocolate at night. So
chocolate sounds good.
Yeah, because I feel like I should be able to have that. That's what I want at night. So I feel like I should be able to have it.
Right, but why not just put it on a plan? Let me ask you this. Why shouldn't you be able to have it? Have you ever thought about why you just shouldn't, like?
Well, I feel like it's a habit, and it's just a habit that hasn't worked out for me. But like my family, because we grew up having always something sweet at night before, after dinner. Like that's since I was a kid. My mom, my brother, they're not overweight, but they still do it. Like, well, not my mom, she passed away. But like, so part of me feels like it's just the habit. Like, I don't even know if I want it, But it's almost like if it's 8 o'clock at night and I'm getting ready to go to bed, I'm like, oh, I didn't have anything sweet. I need something sweet.
Well, here's the surefire way to decide if it's a habit is don't have it. And then watch yourself freak out. Habits, if it's a habit, if it's a legit habit, your brain will freak the fuck out over not having your sweets at night. It'll be like,
yeah,
you need it. Why aren't we having it? My mama had it. My brother always had it. They're always thin. Like, yeah, this is something we've done all of our life. Like, your brain will scroll through because everything you just told me is a story you have to support a habit that's not helping you lose weight. Mm-hmm. Rather than starting to tell yourself the story of the habit you want, it's going to help you lose weight.
Okay.
And that's what we do with habits.
Right.
But my
the habit I want. Yeah.
Yeah, like my big thing is scrub all of it. Mm-hmm. Just forget everything for a hot second. You could lose weight. How much weight do you want to lose?
Oh, 120 pounds.
Say we're going to lose 120 pounds and I'm going to give you 18 months, just like I had 18 months. And you could eat the way you want that would also produce you losing weight. What would that look like?
So I would wake up and have something to eat because I'm hungry when I wake up. But I'm not sure what that would be. Like sometimes I draw a blank.
Okay, take a wild guess right now. Give me two things that you would enjoy eating first thing in the morning that would help you, that would taste good, feel good in your body, and you would just try it for a couple of weeks to see if you like it.
Maybe like oatmeal and some type of fruit, like peaches or pineapples or something like that.
So you do know.
Oh, I guess so. Well, I have oatmeal in there, but I never eat it. Like I never make it.
I wonder if it's because you don't make plans. Too busy telling yourself. Let me tell you why you're not eating it. It's the thought, once I start eating, I'm going to overeat all day. That's your most painful thought that you have, rather than telling yourself, I'm going to start eating first thing in the morning and teach myself how to eat in a way to lose weight.
Mm-hmm. So instead, I'm just not eating until noon or whatever, because I do have coffee in the morning.
Fear. And that's the biggest problem that I don't want for you.
Yeah, like I'm almost, there's times I'm almost upset with myself that I'm hungry like at 4 o'clock. I'm like, really? Like, do you really have to be hungry now? If you can just wait for 2 hours so you can eat dinner. Like that's, but I'm really hungry. Like I'm legit hungry at that time.
You probably need to plan food during that time and not leave yourself up to figuring out what to eat and being annoyed with yourself and just grabbing things that sound and taste delightful. Like, I think for you, I think one reason why I know you're waking up super hungry in the morning is because you are having basically cupcakes and cake right before you go to bed.
Yeah.
That is always, like, just for all of you, just how, like, basic science works with your insulin. It's like saying, I'm going to give you a lot of sugar, and then when your body is going to drop the sugar in the middle of the night, and you're going to wake up with your body wanting some sugar to kind of just get you going. And it's going when it wants sugar, it sends hunger signals. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with eating breakfast. I eat breakfast every day.
Yeah.
I just want you to start thinking more about, if I was going to do all of this, not from being afraid of food and afraid of my hunger, and I was going to start learning about my hunger and learning about foods, what would I be trying? So okay, like I would be trying oatmeal in the morning rather than starving.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah. Because I feel like this whole thing with the plan, like I write down what I, the days that I'm more likely to do a plan is if I have leftovers from the day before. Because then I know automatically, well, that's what I'm going to eat the next day. But if I don't have any leftovers from the day, then I don't know. I'm like, well, do I just randomly throw some stuff on this list and then just randomly go eat it? Because
yeah, well, you
know what I
called, you purposefully put some stuff on the list and then you go on purposely eat it.
And eat
you
it.
Act like leftovers.
It doesn't really matter what it is.
Yeah, well, it does. It matters. It matters to you. You get to put what you want on the plan.
Right. Okay.
Like that oatmeal that's just been sitting there waiting to be ate.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. My refrigerator and pantry is stocked with food. There's no shortage of food.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we call everything that's in your pantry and your refrigerator leftovers?
Oh, right. Right. Yeah, because I'll eat it. Like, if I eat this today and I have half, I'm like, oh, perfect. That's lunch tomorrow.
Yeah, like that oatmeal that's not even cooked could be called leftovers. It's leftovers. From the serving from the last time I had some.
That's true. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. I'm going
to
try.
I want you to give planning a try. Mm-hmm. I want you to, like, literally pay attention to your hunger for 30 days. And get okay. better at saying, you know what? Like, I don't care if I eat every 2 hours. If I stop when I'm satisfied and I don't eat until I'm actually hungry, I'm never overeating.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if that happens every 2 hours. Because, like, a good example, back in the day when I was a bodybuilder, I ate 7 fucking times a day. The meals were about as big as this bracelet. But I can for fuck sure tell everybody I wasn't overeating. You always were hungry and you started eating, you're like, oh fuck, it's done already.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, and I was literally eating every 2-2.5 hours. It was a hard life. It wasn't fun, but
yeah,
it like
okay, I'm gonna try it.
I would, and I want you to think about like not getting caught up in that there being good foods and bad foods and all that kind of stuff. Have you listened to my talk? It's a quick hit right now on Facebook where I think we just released it yesterday where I talk about how to find good, better, best foods.
Oh, I saw it. So I can go back and listen to it. I saw that it was uploaded. So
I want you to watch that one. This is going to be really key for you as you're planning.
Okay. It's
like I've redefined how we think about good food, better food, and best food. But I want you to like make a plan and each day, like I want you to bank that, like, you know what? I'm going to make a plan. Like I'm going to be hungry every 2 hours and I'm going to put all that food on here.
On there. Okay. I'll try it. I'm going to try. I feel like I have to try it. Cause it's like at this point I've just been doing the same thing. So nothing's going to change. Like nothing has changed. Cause in my mind, I'm like, what can I do to change? And I'm like, then when I think of what can I do to change, it's like the same things in my mind. Well, I can just stop eating, you know, but it's the same thing. It's nothing else. So.
Right. And I would argue that you not eating, the reason why I know it's not working is because you're not eating from a place of I shouldn't, I should wait, like I might overeat. That's all fear-based thinking around your eating. The more you get to know and trust your body, the more you start knowing and trusting yourself to make better decisions for yourself, to try, like, you know, I noticed that I want to eat candy bars when I'm hungry at 3 o'clock. Now, like, as you're getting to know, trust, and like yourself more around food and stuff, you'll say, like, you know, I might could do something different. I noticed that when I eat candy, like, at 3 or 4 o'clock, it kind of sets me up to want more sugar later. So maybe I could do, like, some fruit, nuts, or even just, I used to make this snack a long time ago that had, there were chocolate chips in it. It had like nuts, chocolate chips, and I don't even remember the other thing. It was like cereal, like a healthier cereal. And I would make that because it would allow me to have a little bit of the chocolate while having really good stuff with it. So I wasn't completely giving up chocolate, but I was like, there's got to be a better way to do this. Like,
right.
I don't need a candy bar every day, you know, like, so like what could I eat that would be equally like, it would at least give me that like sense of pleasure from the chocolate, but also I would know that I'm starting to move towards making a few healthier decisions with some food, you know?
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm going to try it. I'll listen to the good once we're done with this. And I'm going
to
try it.
I want you to listen to that and then just start eating when you're hungry and make that plan, like over deliver for yourself. So like, here's all the foods that I can eat today. And when I get hungry, I'm going to pick one of these foods. It's all
one of these things. Okay.
It's never going to be overeating if I'm hungry, and it's never going to be overeating. Cause here's one thing I know about you. You're really good at stopping at satisfied.
Yes.
If you can do it at 12 and 6, you can do it anytime during the day.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have no problem being like, I'm full, or, and then I'm just done with it. and it's half of my meal, or sometimes it's 2/3 of my meal. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's a superpower. So use it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Yeah, let me see if I can find this one script that I told you guys I would read real quick, because if you're not at camp, you won't see it. I can't remember what lesson it is. Is it Future Self? It's not Future Self. Hang on. Cannot remember. Hang on, let me pause the do this. Let me hit record. Usually, this is like the towards the middle. Usually the worst part about feelings is the thinking about them. So in this lesson, we're going to talk about feelings so you can understand them way more than ever, than you've ever been taught. Most of us aren't taught how to feel our feelings. We're taught to shake it off, to get over it, or dry up those tears. Growing up, most of us weren't taught that it's okay to be upset or to feel our feelings. When you're 5 years old and your best friends moved away and you're in your shit about it, you don't need to hear from your parents, it will all be okay. You need to hear, of course you were upset. That's normal. Feeling bad is simply not normalized in our lives. It's talked about like it's a bad thing that we should avoid. No wonder we grow up dismissing our feelings, eating, and eventually what happens is our five-year-old brain grows up and we continue to think that we should never feel bad, or that feeling bad is something you should just get over with as soon as problem. And that's the problem. Feeling bad is a part of your life. If you believe it shouldn't happen, you'll spend half your life thinking something is wrong, instead of thinking or understanding this is just a bad day and that's okay. The goal of life is not to be happy all the time. The goal of life is to be able to experience all of your life. And there's times when we want to grieve, be sad, or feel like something isn't right. It's in those moments when we allow our feelings that we also allow ourselves to question what we want most in our life, how we want to take our stand, who we accept in our life, and who we don't. Our feelings guide us, and they help us make decisions. When you get good at noticing how you are feeling and examine it, instead of avoiding it like the plague, you'll find you'll make better decisions about food, people, and things in your life. And we want to recognize and own every emotion we have. We don't want to exhaust ourselves trying to make everything happy all the time or feeling bad for our honest feelings. For years, I've felt guilty for not having a lot in common with Logan. The two of us want to have things, but we don't. What I realize is that I am sad about that. There are times I'm really sad that we aren't just buddies. We don't connect easy because we have different tastes. Until I was ready to accept that it's something that at times I'm sad about, I spent a lot of my life in guilt. I felt guilty for being a bad mom instead of just feeling sad we don't have things in common. When I let myself feel sad and miss that part of our relationship we wouldn't have, I opened myself up to love myself. No more shaming myself as a mother. No more trying to fix us. I just decided to love us both because I do. And I decided sometimes I'm sad we don't like the same stuff. It was in the moment I allowed my sadness that I quit missing out on love I have for us. I love him. I love me for loving him. No more needing to feel guilty, make him try things he doesn't like, and making me do things I don't like. It's a much easier relationship filled with all the emotions. Life is filled with times you want to feel on purpose. Life is also filled with unnecessary suffering like guilt, worry, shame, and overwhelm. The moment you can feel your feelings and react to them with examination and processing is the moment you don't need to turn to food for relief. You'll get relief from your mind and your relationship with yourself. So that's like a small part of our feelings work we're going to do at camp for you guys. And for those of you who are not coming to camp, I don't want you like freaking out and paranoid, like, oh my God, am I not going to get any of this? We are basically taking the lessons of camp and doing like the live Q&A and the coaching and everything around it. And a lot of the things that I'm doing for camp will be enhancing even more and putting into the No BS release that's going to come out in September for all you guys. So we're going to start taking a lot of our work even deeper and more impactful for all of you, so that you can do like some of the things we talked about today, which is feel harder, listen more to yourself, allow yourself to be annoyed, and all the things. Okay. Y'all have a good one. And thank you for the extra long coaching. I enjoyed today. I'm going to go film a couple things for camp. And I'm going to just relax the rest of the day and learn some stuff for you guys. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.